Amen.
We won't be hindered by lingual diversity.
Right.
And so it is, you know, we're going to keep going, and but one day we won't have to bother about any of it. We're just going to have it all sorted. In Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to be in this in this chapter here tonight. I'll make some references otherwise. And verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Tonight I'd like us to consider that thought, go forward. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore leaving the principle to the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. We're not supposed to stay where we are, we're supposed to continue on. We're supposed to go forward. We're not supposed to go backwards. We're not supposed to shift to the sides. We are to go forward. Whether it be as us individually, whether it be as a family, whether it be as a church, whether it be as a ministry, we are to be going forward. Spiritual maturity is a call for spiritual progress. Now, we're all in favour of progress, someone says. It's the changes we hate. We got to get used to changes. Not all changes are progress, but all progress are changes. And so spiritual maturity requires us to leave our present state, our present position, and we are to go on. It requires us to leave behind. Hebrews 1, let us go on under perfection, not laying again the foundation off. We're supposed to go on from the ABCs.
Right.
We're not supposed to stay with the milk of the word. We're supposed to go on in the word. We're not supposed to stay with the simplistic thing. We're supposed to go on.
Amen.
We're supposed to just continue to press on. Spiritual maturity is normal for the Christian. It's part of the normal Christian life. We aren't supposed to stay the same. There's something wrong if we don't want to grow. There's something wrong if we don't want to go forward. We're supposed to be moving forward, just walking onward, keeping our eyes on the Lord. It's normal for life and ministry.
Amen.
I saw that little baby around here this morning. There's going to be some concerns if I come back in 5 years' time and that baby's still the same size.
Right.
It's normal. It's normal for to expect it in a child, in physically. So too, it's normal to expect a child of God. We are to be growing.
Amen.
Growing and going. We're supposed to be moving forward. Mary Slessor, missionary, not sure if you heard of her. Mary Slessor said this, onward, I dare not look back. David Livingstone said, I'll go anywhere so long as it's forward. And it's a matter of us going forward. It's a matter of us pressing onward. So whether we're going forward in our life, whether it be going forward in our church ministry here, there are seven principles I want us to keep in mind. We're going to spell out the word forward. And I'm pretty sure we spell the word forward the same way in northern and southern hemispheres. So we're going to start with the letter F in verse 10. We're going to be looking down through this passage tonight, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The F, if we are going to go forward, we must firstly forsake the past.
Amen.
You've got to walk away from the past. You've got to forsake the past. If we are able to look at the past, if we're able to do that, we're not going to be looking at the future.
Amen.
We've got to look away from the past. We've got to be looking under the future. And we're supposed to be pressing forward. We're supposed to move forward. Paul, right over in Philippians chapter 3, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, I press toward the prize. I press. I strive. I work hard. I work through those hindrances. I work through the things, the obstacles that come up, whether it be a mountain peak, I've got to, whether it be a valley, whether it be I'm wading through deep waters. I'm going to go forward, Paul says. We can't move forward while we are holding on to the past. We have to be able to let go of past ways. Past ways. This is how I've always done it. Well, if you're going to do something different, you've got to stop doing the way you've always done it. Someone has said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got.
Right, amen.
And so, if you just, you think, I just keep making the same mistakes. You've got to change something.
Right.
You've got, but I've always done it this way. Do you want to go forward or do you want to get stuck?
Right.
You've got to change it. You've got to do something. You've got to be able to move forward. We can't go forward if we keep doing the same things, the same old, same old. You say that here? Same old, same old? The same old, same old.
Right.
You've got to change. You've got to do something different. We have to forsake what we've always done. We've got to let go of past ways. We've got to let go of past wins. There are some wins, some victories that we've had in the past that we have to let go of.
Right.
Because we're holding on to those wins of the past.
Yeah,
that's what we're basing our Christianity today on a victory we had last year or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, however long it was. Oh, and obviously, the older we get, the better we were.
Yeah,
look at that.
Right.
We've got to let go of those past wins. It's a mistake to be always going back and recovering just what it is that's in the past. The law of the Christian isn't backward, it's forward. It's not in past experiences, it's in the future. It's always the will of God that's ahead of us, beckoning for us to come, to move on, to draw towards it. We have to be able to keep doing that. Don't fret when joys are fled. There are more joys coming up. But we have to be able to let go of those joys. You know, the kids, they have their pacifiers, their blankies. If they're going to go on, they've got to leave behind the dark. In Australia, we call it the dummy. It's not the pacifier, it's the dummy. Why do you call it the dummy? It's not the real thing.
Right.
It's a dummy. And they soon realise it because they get the dummy in the mouth. Amen. There's nothing here. So it's called the dummy. And so I have to get rid of the dummy, you've got to get rid of the blankie, you've got to be able to do that. We've got to look up and press forward.
Amen.
But this is the most important thing.
Amen.
If we are going to move forward, if we are going to forsake, we've got to forsake those past ways, those past wins.
Right.
Most important, you've got to forsake past wounds.
Yeah.
I've never, ever been in a church where I have not been wounded somehow.
Right.
And some wounds have been bad enough where I've just wanted to walk out and I just, if that's it, I've done, I've had it, I'm going. It's probably a good thing that in Australia, see, we have in the whole, Australia is about the size of mainland America, but we only have 26 million people. So we have wide open spaces. But in the whole of Australia, we only have, at best, 200 independent Baptist churches scattered over Australia. So it's not like I can pack up and go to another independent Baptist church. The closest one is about an hour away. I've never been in a church. Wounds come from all sorts of places. You get them at school. You get them at work. We get them in the sporting club. We get them down the shopping centre when we go down there. We get them at the gym. Wherever people congregate, we get them on the road. Someone, giving us the, we're driving down the road and something happens, and then people around us are giving us the Hawaiian good luck symbol, You know, well, man, what do I do there? You know, you just get wounded even driving to church.
Right. Try, amen.
Hold your place. 2 Samuel 20. 2 Samuel 20. We won't go out of this. We won't go out of Exodus 14 much, but I want to point this out here. A real lesson for you. You know, the older I get, the more amazed I am at how Christians treat one another.
Right.
Why is that? We are more civil to lost people than we are to other Christians.
That's right.
You figured that out yet? It does my head in. Like, why is that? We're supposed to be saved. We're supposed to be bought by the same blood. We've got the same father. We've got the same big brother. And yet we treat one another like lepers sometimes. And you think, man, what's going on there? If we're going to go forward, my friends, if we're going to go forward, we have to forsake past wounds. Some people can't move forward because they're wallowing in the wounds of the past.
Right.
2 Samuel 20, verse 12. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. Well, you see Amasa, Joab cut Amasa's guts out. And he's wallowing. Just without being too graphic, Amasa is wallowing in his own guts that have been spilled out on the ground. And I'm sure he's sucking air, he's trying to do everything, he's still alive. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway, and when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. And when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. Preacher, could you take the jacket off?
Or else I would have done it myself. I promise I won't stamp on it.
I would have done it myself. I've got this on my wire. So Amasa has had his guts cut out. Can we say he's been wounded? Now, over home, we'll say, if something happens, someone will say, man, I'm gutted. Did you say that here? I'm gutted. No? Yes? No? So here he is. Amasa's on the ground and he's wallowing. They saw when someone was wallowing in a wound, everybody stopped to look and to listen and to observe that wallowing in the wound. But someone came along and took a cloth, drug him out of the way, and then covered it up. If you want to move on from past wounds,
come on, Brother Neil,
you're going to have to take a cloth, that cloth of grace, that grace of mercy, of love, whatever that cloth is, cloth of forgiveness, and you cover up that old wound, and you go on to the glory of God, and you leave it.
Amen.
The children of Israel, brother, how do you get all of that out of what we read? The children of Israel came up to the Red Sea. They had the Egyptians behind, they're pursuing. They had to leave them behind and go forward into the sea. They had to, preacher, you can put this back on again or not, it's up to you, I'll let you make that pastoral decision. I see that he's made that decision. You have to walk away.
Come on, amen.
Because sometimes the past is still chasing you.
Amen.
You've got to keep going.
Right.
You've got to forsake the past, forsake those things that are going to hold you back. Stop wallowing in it. I'll give you this. Exodus 14. Someone had said this. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. Oh, you never believe what happened to me. And they're rereading that past chapter. Oh, you never believe what happened to me. Oh, the same thing happened to me, just worse.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
You can't keep rereading it.
Right.
You've got to finish that chapter. That chapter's finished.
Right. Amen. Amen.
And then you start on the next chapter.
Amen.
Good preaching.
Amen. Yeah.
Verse 22 that we read. Let's read it again. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall under them on their right hand and on their left. The O, F is forsaking the past. The O is overcome what is before you. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. You have to overcome what is before you. Imagine standing before that large body of water, and then there's a go forward. What? Do what? Go where? Forward. You're joking, aren't you? You see what's out in front of us here? And here it is. But in his omniscience, God knows what it's going to take. And God knows the way that we take. And he says, go forward. He knows. What? You think it's caught him by surprise? You're stuck at the Red Sea? Oh, no. God knows.
Amen.
He knows the way that we're taking. He knows. And he still says, go forward. He knows what's involved. He knows the fear. He knows those things. He still says, go forward. There are just some things. There is no other way than to go forward.
They had
time to look around. They would have looked. No, we can't go that way. We can't go that way. The Egyptians are pursuing. We've got the Red Sea here. What are we going to do? Go forward.
Right.
Overcome what's before you.
Amen.
Yeah, there are going. It's never easy. There's always stuff there that you've got to work through. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it happens real quick. It just moves right on through a situation. How did I get through that? God. God is the answer. That's how I got through that. There's no other way otherwise. But yet God grants us that opportunity to be able for us to go on through and head that way. Go forward on, with the glory of God. Go on for his benefit. We are to go through it. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. We can't go around it. We've only got one other option, folks. Go through it.
Amen.
And there are some things that we will fear, but we still got to be able to go forward. We still got to be able to go through it. I hate needles. How much do you hate needles, Brother Neil? I hate them so much I faint. So you give me a needle, make sure I'm lying down, or you're going to be picking me up. But I will still go and get my blood work done each year. Even though I'm laying down and I'm sucking air and the room starts to spin while I'm laying down, I still go and do it.
Right.
You're doing all right, brother? Yeah, I'll be there. And Neil, you're doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing all right. Yeah. And I'm trying to breathe.
Right.
And I'm laying down. It's like, don't even bother trying to give me something when I'm standing up. The legs are gone. There's no other option. Ellie Maxwell wrote a book a few years ago called Proud of the Christ, and one of the early chapters in that book is titled Shut Up to Faith. There's going to come times when we are going to face things, and the only way that we can face them, the only way that we can get through it, is we're shut up to God. There is no other options. We have none of this phone a friend. We can't do phone a friend, we can't pass, we can't skip. We've got to go through it.
Right.
And God's the only answer that we're able to do it.
Amen.
Going forward, if we are to go forward, we must overcome that which is before us. From chapter 13 and verses 17 and 18, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." The R of out of forward is resisting shortcuts. If we are going to go forward, we must resist shortcuts.
Amen.
In today's society, there's a lot of emphasis is placed on the bottom line. Efficiency in business is very important, and people have brought that mentality into Christianity, and that ought not so to be. They bring that in to say the world looks at everything most efficient, most productive. That's why we've got to go, because that's how we're going to get ahead, and that's how things are. But that's not right. That's not how it leads. Someone has said the longest distance between two points is a shortcut. Have you ever had one of those shortcuts? And it is, you've gone a long ways round. You think, I thought this was a shortcut. I thought this was the easy way. It's called a shortcut. The aim of a shortcut is to negate two things: time and distance. The process. Today, now with genetically modified foods and grains and chickens and all those things, beef, they're wanting to get more turnover per year. The more chickens they can raise in a 8-week period, get them ready for market, and then hand them over, then we start another lot. We're getting more instead of having six series through. We get six series through instead of four. We've just increased our margin. We've just done more. You see, God is about the process. We want to get it done quickly. God's not interested in the process.
Amen.
He's interested in you.
Amen.
And He knows what it's going to take to bring out the best in you, to bring out the best in me. It's all about the process. There's something satisfying about the process. But the world pushes fast track. Fast track your career. Fast track your path to financial freedom. Fast track, fast track, fast track. And God says, I'm not into fast tracking. I'm into slow cooked meals. You know the slow cookers? I walk in the house and, what's that? Go straight to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's in the slow cooker. And I obviously not allowed to lift the lid. You go over there and she'll say, don't touch it, leave it alone. just looking. Those slow cooked meals. She gets that pork, puts it in there, just pulls apart, puts some extra goop in there. We've got smoky pork. Man, throw that on a roll or something, throw that somewhere. Man, slow cooked. God's in for the process.
Amen.
Much is learned by going through the process. Now I'm going to give you an illustration. Do not judge me. Please do not judge me before you hear the end of the illustration. Algebra is the most stupid way of math and thinking and doing things. Tell me what X is. Well, you tell me what everything else is, and I'll tell you what X is. I don't care what X is. How stupid is X?
Yeah, you're right.
Who thinks of this stuff? Some goober that's stuck in an office with white hair that's all fuzzy like this. I know what we can do. Oh, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
I did algebra 40 years ago. I haven't used it since. Right. I don't use algebra.
Right.
How stupid is that? What X can be anything? No, tell me what X is. It's got to be straightforward. Tell me what X is. Well, it can be apples and oranges and bananas and Bibles and it can... No, be specific. Don't be abstract. What is X? Oh, it can be whatever you want it to be. Now let me give you the other side. As stupid and as pathetic as algebra is, the big thing about algebra is you follow the process and you'll get the right answer. Remember the rules of math, remember the law, remember you go through, and then you'll always get the right answer. Every time. I've had one, I used that illustration ages ago, and there's a teacher. And they keep trying to get me to stop saying how rubbish algebra is. And by the time I got to the second part of the illustration, God's involved in the process.
Good. Amen. Yeah. Mm.
We are finite beings and we are linked to units of measurement, time and distance.
Right.
But God is infinite. God is the Ancient of Days. He knows no bounds. So when he says, wait a sec, we're going to be waiting 4 days. I did the math one time. If a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is 1 day. I broke it right down. So when he says, I'll wait a sec, that worked out to be about 4 days. It's all about the process.
That's right. Amen.
Resist trying to take shortcuts. The Lord is efficient. Everything is done in His time, right, in His way.
Amen.
Everything is done right. The end product. What's God's end? God's end for us is that we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the end. That's the goal. That's what he has in mind. That's the process to shape us that we be more like Christ.
Amen.
We have to trust him for his judgment and what he will do. Verse 13 of chapter 14. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The W out of forward is watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. We are to be watching God. As we go forward, we are to be watching God and follow his direction.
Right.
What did they see God do? Well, verses 19 and 20. And the angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. You need to be watching what God will do. You're standing at the Red Sea. Watch what God will do. God is before you. You're being pursued. What God will do is he'll move from before you. He'll move behind you. He'll put darkness between you and what's pursuing you, so you can't look back and see what's coming up. But secondly, you have the light behind you. When the light is behind you, sometimes out at work, I work in a coal mine, out at work, they have the spotlights on the roof, and it just lights up the road. when God moves from before us, behind us, it's darkness that way, but we can see right forward. He repositions himself that we're able to have that light coming over our shoulder. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. He repositioned himself. Secondly, he opened the way. He moves, comes around the back. There's light. And with that light coming over your shoulder, what they see? The way opened up. We need to be watching. And as we go forward for God, we need to be watching what's before us, because he's going to shine a light. All of a sudden, there's movement there. What's going on? And as that water went back to be walls on either side, the land is dry. It's not slop. It's dry, and they go across on dry ground. They don't get bogged down. They don't lose traction. They don't slip. They don't stumble. Dry ground. And they go forward.
Amen.
He opened the way before them. And the way that led before them, there's still darkness behind them, and there's walls of water on each side. You can't go off track. There is just a way that you're going to go, and you're going to go forward in that way. The scholars that have studied where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, it was in the Straits of Tyran at the northern end of the Red Sea. And they said underneath where they believed the children of Israel crossed, there is a natural underwater bridge. It's about 800 metres wide, and it's about 800 metres wide. And it goes across, and at its deepest point, it's only 250 metres deep. So it opened up, and here's this bridge going across. You know, folks, sometimes for us to go forward, we're going to have to go down before we go back up on the other side.
All right, amen.
But we don't want to. We want to go to the heights. We want to. Yes, let's go.
Right.
Just by now, keep practicing.
Yeah, all right.
But if we're going to go forward, friends, sometimes we've got to go down first.
Right.
But there is a way, and there are walls on each side that we're able to go through.
Yeah, amen.
We need to be watching what God does. If we're going to go forward, he repositions, he opens the way. They're able to cross, they're able to do that, they're able to carry on. Verses 26 and 27, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon the chariots, and upon the horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. He repositions himself, he opens the way, he closed the way.
Right. Right.
Two people are going through similar circumstances. The way that you go through your Red Sea will drown somebody else going through the Red Sea in their life. The children of Israel went through on dry land. The Egyptians are saying, tried to do the same thing that the Hebrews did, and they were drowned. Where there is a Red Sea before you, try, do not think, oh, so-and-so went this way, I'm going to do the same thing. No, go the way that God tells you to go. Find out which way it is and go that way and you won't drown. You too will go across on dry land with borders to protect you and darkness behind. Everything else will be the same.
Right. Amen.
You don't want to drown in your circumstances. How many people have drowned in the circumstances
right.
that they're trying to go through? They're overwhelmed and they're drowned in it.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Verse 30 and 31, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So you've got to be watching what God's doing. We find that he repositioned himself, he opened the way, he closed the way. But as you're watching, you know what you're going to see? God did a great work.
Amen.
God did a great work. The effect of repositioning, opening and closing, the effect of all that is, wow, look at what God has done.
Right.
Too often today we've lost our wow factor of God.
That's right.
We brought God, not here. Well, yeah, well, that's what I expected. No, there's a wow, look at that.
Right, amen.
We've got to be careful about losing that wow factor. Out of all the great work that God has, that God will do in us going forward, fear and faith, the fear of God and faith in God is what is going to be born in our hearts.
Right.
The children of Israel ought not have had any fear, and their faith ought to be strong, but yet they forgot so quickly all that God had done there. We must watch it as God would lead us forward, as God would have us go. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. Verse 5 here. Now this is the as they left. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? The A is, except that not everyone will be pleased.
Amen.
When we go forward, when a church goes forward, not everybody is going to be pleased with that. Preacher told us this morning in that Sunday school hour about a church, and they started and they had people saved, people joining the church, and he got pulled aside and said, hey, what are you doing? We don't like all these changes. We'd rather go back to us four and no more, thank you.
Right, man.
Not everybody's pleased with forward progress.
Right, amen.
And we have to accept it, that not everybody's going to say, glory, hallelujah, look at you go. They're going to be saying, what are you doing? What have I done in encouraging you?
Yeah, amen.
Except that not everybody is going to be pleased
right.
with us going forward. In verse 3, they'll make assumptions, and Pharaoh will say to the children, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Oh, they're going to make assumptions. You just watch. Just watch and wait. They're going to get tangled up in the land. They're not going to go any further. They're going to get consumed. But what happened? No. They went on through.
Right.
They weren't stopped. They weren't hindered. They weren't confused. They weren't confined. They went on through. Verse 5, they'll ask questions. They'll come and ask questions. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and asked him hard questions.
Right.
They're trying to catch you up. They're trying to get you caught out. When they come to ask hard questions and our answer is only, I believe this is what God has told me to do, they're not going to accept it. They're not going to understand it.
Right.
And they'll probably just get a little bit more aggravated.
Amen.
But God told them to go forward. in verse 8, we're told here that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. This is an instance where the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You look previous to this, Pharaoh hardened his own heart.
Right.
So as Pharaoh hardens his heart, God comes along. Oh, is that what you've done? Well, I'll harden it some more myself. Well, you've done that, I'm going to harden it too. So Pharaoh hardens it, then God hardens it. All through the process, Pharaoh's heart is gradually getting harder and harder. Verse 9, they were pursued, the Egyptians pursued after them. There are some people that have left churches and churches have gone on, but they just can't let it go. They continue to text the pastor, they continue to be a thorn in his side and keep reminding them of the mistake that he's made and everything else. And the church has gone forward. What are they doing? They're pursuing. They're going after. They're still trying to slow him up and hold him back. They're still trying to do that. Verse 11, they will accuse and they said unto Moses, this is their own people. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? His own people accused him.
Right.
And sometimes, men, we're going to leave our families, and our family's going to accuse us of having an ulterior motive, of having our own private agenda. Verse 12, is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Some people will desire to go back.
Right.
Even though they've made progress forward, even though they've walked out, even though they've gone on, they still want to go back. You know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. Is that the saying here? Better the devil you know than the devil you don't. Change upsets people. The second R in forward, is to be resting in the Lord. We won't turn there. We have to rest in his character firstly, and that's Exodus chapter 3 verses 7 and 8. We have to rest in his character. Brother Neil, character, what do you mean? Well, back there in Exodus 3 he said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry. I know their sorrows. I've come down to deliver them. I will bring them out. We have to trust the character of God. We have to rest in his character, believing that he knows our exact situation, where we are today, and what we're facing, and what we're going through.
Amen.
We have to rest in his character, that he would do what he promised he would do. We have to rest in his counsel in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. What was his counsel? Fear ye not, stand still. Twofold. The hardest thing for any of us to do is when we are afraid, is to stand still. What do we want to do?
Amen.
We want to run. We flee or fight.
Right.
That's what they tell you. Oh, yeah, people respond either flee or fight.
Right.
Well, there is that other option. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
It's fearful. Scared to death. Feels like your legs are going to collapse underneath you. Feels like you're going to lose heart. You're not going to get through it.
Right.
Stand still. Stand still. It's hard to see. Because despair says, well, just lay down and die. Cowardice says, run! Run for your life! Presumption says, just go ahead and make a decision and go forward and expect a miracle. No. Stand still.
Amen.
Fear ye not. We rest in the character of God. We rest in the counsel of God. We rest in His course. What was His course? Go forward. Lord, I don't understand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Lord, I don't understand. This just doesn't look... Just take a step.
Yeah.
Take another step. As light is revealed, take another step. Sometimes it's step, step, step. Then it's step. Boom. Take another step. But let the Lord lead through. And the deed. Thus, verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. The D is diligently. Go forward diligently. Go forward, and we're supposed to be forsaking the past. We're supposed to be walking on. Otherwise, we forsake the past, just walk away from it. We're supposed to go forward, overcoming what's before us. We're to resist the temptations, resist the shortcuts. We're to be watching what God does. We're to accept that not everybody is going to be pleased with what we're doing. We go forward resting in the Lord. We go forward diligently. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. That day. Oh, it took them a bit to get them to the point where they want to walk away. But for them to cross to get through and then to see Pharaoh drown, they must have kept up a good pace. It's been estimated that was between 2.5 and 3 million people crossed the Red Sea. And it was a 16-kilometre walk across, average walk. I'm sorry, I can't do it in miles. That's something you can figure it out. On a good walk, you can do 4 kilometres an hour. But the whole children of Israel could have crossed over in a night easily. They just had to keep up the pace. If they were to make their crossing, they had to be diligent. They had to keep up. Being diligent is steady in application. Just keeping on. A couple of scriptures come to mind when I was thinking about diligence. Joshua 18:3. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack? Slack is the opposite of diligence. Slack is not diligence, not using due diligence. Joshua said, how long are ye slack to go and divide the land? Yeah. The land's before you. Why are you slack? Why aren't you diligent? Why aren't you going to take that land? And 2 Kings chapter 4, the mother had just, the son had just died. Mum says, hey Dad, I'm going to go and see the man of God. And she saddles up the ass and off she goes. And she says, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. The emphasis, I don't believe, is on the drive. The emphasis is on don't slack. Go forward, don't slack. Joshua says, Israel, why are you slack? Go forward. We have to be diligent. We have to press forward. If we're to go forward, it's going to take us being diligent, not being inconsistent. Faithful and faithfulness are two words that come to mind with it. there is no, if we don't go forward, we must go back. Sometimes we're going to face big headwinds, right, strong tides. Well, what you've got to do, throw out that anchor of hope into that rock Jesus and hold your ground.
Amen.
Waiting for the tide and conditions,
amen,
to turn, and then but be ready, because when they turn, you'll go. There's a place in northwest Australia called the Horizontal Waterfall, and water gushes through there on the tide. Gushes one way, gushes back in. Incredible to see. I've never seen it in person, just seen it on YouTube. The Horizontal Waterfall. You're going to face some headwinds sometimes.
Right,
I'll finish you with a quote from David Livingstone. Nothing earthly will make me give up my work in despair. I encourage myself in the Lord my God and go forward. Sometimes we're just going to need to get a little bit of encouragement,
right,
stay encouraged,
amen,
and go forward. In spite of the Red Sea before us. Folks, I'm sorry I've gone long.
Amen.
But I pray it'd be a help to you about going forward.
Amen.
There is, amen, much land to cover. There is much to get. There is much to inherit. There is much to overcome. There is much that lies before us for the glory of God.
Amen.
Go forward.
Yeah.
Amen. Go forward.
Amen. If you'll stand.
They're going to come play a little bit. We'll give you a few minutes. As you know, the altars are always open.